It's not only engine changes. Sometimes there might be an incident that the aircraft wingtip may hit a dock. That's a sometimes common thing that happens. So we'll go that, or it may be a hydraulic leak. It may be a fuel leak. It can be anything that have to be rescued. We'll go with the equipments needed and fix the aircraft and bring it back.
G'day and welcome everyone to episode number 19 of On The Step With That Mallard Guy. Dan Bolton is my name and I'll be taking you into another episode of everyone's favourite aspect of aviation, float planes and flying boats. This week we are stepping away from interviewing incredible pilots who fly seaplanes and we are diving into the wonderful world of seaplane maintenance. That's right, it's maintenance week here at On The Step and I've got two great interviews today with a Trans-Maldivian Airways engineer and on the next episode the chief engineer of the Grumman Mallards iFly to talk about what it's like to maintain these old aircraft. But first, it's time for the seaplane news headlines. To Torch Lake, Michigan in the United States, and Joe Short, owner of the popular Bel Air-based Shorts Brewing Company, took the Maul Seaplane's co-pilot seat next to his friend Steve Smith for a string of recent waterfront brew deliveries that had his customers and their neighbours buzzing, according to the Associated Press. While the seaplane deliveries are done for now, they might make a return in the future. Sometimes you just got to take a moment, get crazy and do something cool, the brewery's staff posted on Facebook this weekend with a video highlighting the waterfront deliveries. One of the recent lucky recipients was Kathy Bryant, who hosted a cookout at her tiki bar on Elk Lake. "This is a highlight of our summer, absolutely," Bryant said. "To see a seaplane come in right your front step and deliver beer and hop off, I mean, this was just phenomenal." A very fun story, that one, from mlive.com. And you can see a video of the deliveries, plus, I'll use a word, interesting video of Short water skiing behind the mall on the company's Facebook page, Short's Brewing Company. Off to Ontario, Canada, where two men from the Carlton Place area received only a few scratches after making a crash landing in their float plane on Friday. Ontario Provincial Police said the incident happened around 2:30 p.m. near the Carlton Place Airport, just south of Carlton Place and east of Mississippi Lake. The aircraft looks to have come down in heavy scrub or foliage. "Although the pilot was not from our airport, we are all grateful that there were no serious injuries today," the airport's Facebook page said. OPP said the reported cause of the incident was a fuel line problem and there will be no further investigation. That story from the Ottawa Citizen website. And finally, over to the Maldives, we will be going very shortly for our main interview. And 95% of the new seaplane terminal project has been completed, the Maldives Airports Company Limited, or MACL, has revealed. "They are currently working on the fuel lines for the docks at the terminal," said MACL. A total of 3.5 hectares of land was reclaimed for the project, which is being developed by one of China's renowned construction companies, Beijing Urban Construction Group, for a total of $40 million. MACL earlier revealed that the new seaplane terminal would be completed in late 2019. However, due to several issues, the project has been long drawn out. The new terminal will add more than 80 seaplane docking platforms and increase the floor area, lounge and boarding gate by 50%. While the Maldives has the largest seaplane fleet across the globe, the new terminal measures three times bigger than the current seaplane terminal. Thanks to Raji.mv for that story. And for now, folks, those are the seaplane news headlines. Okay, everyone, now is the time to jump to our interview. Coming on the show as part of Maintenance Week is Trans-Maldivian Airways engineer Nisham Ali, who along with a close friend run a fantastic Instagram page at Seaplane Mechanic. They regularly post behind-the-scenes footage of what it's like to maintain a fleet of over 50 twin otters. Incredible stuff. Now, Nisham is a Maldivian with English not being his first language, so I'd like to personally thank him for firstly making the time to talk with me and secondly for putting himself out there to speak on a podcast. Great stuff, Nisham. I really love this chat. It opened up my eyes a lot at how the Maldives works from a maintenance perspective, and Nisham tells some very cool stories. But for now, folks, let's go to the toolbox. grabbing out the mirror and a torch. We'll double check that work has been completed thoroughly, and once we're happy, we'll hand over the aircraft to the pilots so they can get going on the step.
Right engine is turning. 12% fuel. A light.
Alrighty, welcome all the way from Male in the Maldives. Nisham Ali, how are you going, mate?
Very good, I'm enjoying.
That's a go. Mate, got you on the show. It's maintenance week here at the moment on the step, and we want to talk all things about seaplane maintenance, and you are an engineer at one of the biggest seaplane companies in the world, Trans-Maldivian Airways, with the beautiful Twin Otter. How are you finding, mate? Is it an absolute dream job working on those machines?
Yeah, it's an absolute dream job. If you want to learn after right from the college, if you want to learn your trade, it's the best things to start in the seaplane. Your hand improvement will be more, and the knowledge that you get from a college will be translated into hands job easier when you are working on a seaplane rather than a big aircraft.
Yeah, absolutely. So, mate, you're from the Maldives. Where did you do all of your engineering training?
I did my engineering training from Malaysia. I did my aircraft maintenance diploma course from Malaysia and came to Maldives. After that, joined the previous Maldivian Air Taxi as an intern. And then from that, after finishing my intern program, I became a technician at Maldivian Air Taxi. And since that, I'm at Trans-Maldivian Airways. Because the two companies that Maldivian Air Taxi and the Trans-Maldivian Airways got merged, and now it's a single company.
Yeah, I remember that happening a few years back. Now, mate, talk to us. We all know about how big Trans-Maldivian is now with their, you know, 50-odd Twin Otters, such a large fleet. How many engineers are there working on all these aircraft?
In the maintenance industry, if you consider it, it would be like there would be technician level, engineer level, and the technicians will be working, and the engineers will be inspecting the technicians work. So there are 100 plus technicians and engineers right now in Trans-Maldivian Airways working to maintain these aircrafts.
Wow.
That includes, now there'll be a couple of trades. You have to be either a sheet metal, a B1, which means a mechanical related, or B2, which is electronics or avionics related. So these trades are, three trades combined, and all of these trades combined and work to maintain the aircraft.
What's your speciality trade out of those three?
I'm a B1 mechanic. I'm a B1 technician, and I'm mostly involved related to the engines of the aircraft.
Talk to us a little bit about how you look after the seaplane engine, the PD6 that's on the Twin Otter there. Is there anything special that you have to do to make them basically last longer and be up to a high standard when, you know, put in such tough, harsh conditions like salt water?
There will be specified maintenance tasks to be done on the engines according to the maintenance manuals, but that depends on, you will be mostly focused on the preventative part because you are working on a salt environment. The focus has to be driven to prevent the engines from getting corrosion and other related defects to be minimized. So you have to be thoroughly washed. You're like in a land plane, the desalination wash you carried out to the compressor will be less hours. We will be doing it in a more frequency, like every day at the base, we will be doing the maintenance of the compressor wash.
So you guys do a wash on both engines every night?
Yeah, every night when the aircraft is on the base.
How do you manage that? Do you do that on the dock where the airplane ends up, or do you have to bring it into the maintenance hangar?
No, because like DMA has a big fleet.
Yeah.
You can't put every time when you need a maintenance into the dock.
Yeah.
So what will happen is the dock is designed so that there will be water line connected, a desalinated, you'll be doing compressor work with the desalinated water.
Yeah.
There will be desalinated water, there will be fresh water line, and there will be a fuel line. All these lines will be running through the docks, and it is integrated with the docks.
Okay.
So there will be marked position on the docks where you can dock the aircraft and tie it down. So it's not that difficult. You can access this very easily.
Okay. And then do you work with the scheduling team to then figure out which aircraft is finishing early to start on that airplane first, or do you just wait till the end of the day and when everyone is kind of back and docked up and then just go through it all?
Yeah, that will depend on the daily. If you are busy, like the operation is, we are doing at morning time from sunrise to sunset. We are not doing night flights.
Yeah.
So like before sunset, all the aircraft that are going to be docked at the base will be coming back, and all the aircraft that are going for overnights will be going to the resorts. So the aircraft that are on the base will start all these washes, and this include daily inspections also.
Oh, okay, so then you daily the aircraft for the pilots, yeah, for the next day, do you?
I'll give you a little bit introduction how the maintenance of this Twin Otter works.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because Twin Otter was first designed as a bush aircraft, right? When they introduced the aircraft, they came up with a concept to maintain the aircraft as EMA, which is Equalized Minimum Maintenance, EMA. So there is an EMA package to maintain the aircraft, which is if you fly, go to somewhere, and you're done for that day, you do a small maintenance of that part and finish it up and sign it off. So like that wise, you complete the EMA package. But when you put the aircraft into airline, you can't ground the aircraft every time you finish the flight, right?
Yeah.
So you have to take it scheduled to a schedule. You have to come use the aircraft in a schedule, ground the aircraft on a scheduled time. So the aircraft comes for EMA inspection after every 125 hours. So that's the extension of the EMA. EMA is for 125 hours.
Yeah, right.
In our calendar. So when there is an airline operation, there's not much difference between the ground maintenance, I mean the seaplane maintenance and the normal airline maintenance. The procedure and everything that comes with it is almost same. So we have a base maintenance, we have a MR maintenance, and we have a line maintenance. So when all the aircrafts that are doing flights daily, they come to the base, and when they are done for the night, we have to do a daily inspection and engine compressor washes. And in every 7 days, there's a weekly inspection. So when the aircraft comes, when the 125 hours has been reached, the aircraft is pulled back to the hangar, and we'll do a MR inspection. There'll be 48 MR inspections. After 48 MR inspection is done, it will go back to the number one MR inspection.
Okay.
So, and every 5 years, you pull the aircraft for heavy maintenance.
Is that a TMA thing or the Twin Otter kind of schedule maintenance programming?
Twin Otter schedule maintenance is EMA program. So, yeah, it's every 5 years, there is a program in TMA to pull the aircraft and do a heavy maintenance inspection.
Yeah, that's really interesting. How many aircraft, you know, do you have then that are, you know, I think you've said something like you've got 57 aircraft, I believe.
54 right now.
54. So how many of those are actually in maintenance at one time?
That depends on the season. Like, so every day in TMA, you'll be, at least there'll be two aircrafts pulled up for MR maintenance.
Okay.
Sometimes there'll be three aircraft. Most of the time, it's very rare to have a three aircraft, but every day there'll be two aircraft pulled up for MR inspections.
And then how long does that last for?
Mostly the MR inspection lasts for one day. And there'll be aircraft that may be grounded for heavy maintenance. Heavy maintenance project will include for 2 to 3 months.
Yeah, right. And is there specific engineers that are then off working on that heavy maintenance project?
Yeah, it will be distributed between the shift pattern. There'll be a specific guy scheduled for EMA. There'll be a specific guy scheduled for heavy maintenance. And there'll be a specific guy scheduled for line maintenance. So they can rotate, but they'll be rotating different times. It will be planned by production planning, which guys will be attending. So most the guys who are doing MR, they may be doing MR for a couple of months, and they may move back to line, and the line guys may move back to doing MR.
Does that make it nice variety as an engineer at TMA there to be able to do the different roles?
Yeah, that's the best part in working in a small seaplane like that. You are not specified to one task. Like some places, if you are working in certain area, you'll be working there for your career. But when working in Twin Otter, there's no specific area that you are said you can go for. Like when you come into the MR inspection, the aircraft will be divided into 6 areas for easiness and inspection. That is called zoning the aircraft, which will be cockpit, that is one, and area 2 will be cabin, area 3 will be tail, 4, 5 will be wings. It will be divided into sub areas, 4A and 4E, that is 4E is engine, and 6 will be float. So like that, every day people will be, within the MR shift, people will be rotated between these areas. So each area will have specific inspection tasks. So you'll be completing those tasks within the day.
Yeah, well, that sounds like you guys have got it all sorted out, and I guess you have to have it sorted out when you have such a big operation.
Everything that when you are working in an airline, it will be regulated. And everything will be done according to plan, and procedures will be in place how it will go through.
Yeah. Now, mate, just before you spoke about, you're talking about every night these aircraft have to do their line maintenance. What happens to an aircraft that is now gone out to an island and is spending an overnight? Is there anything that the flight crew have to do? Do they have to take an engineer with them, or how does that work?
No. They won't be taking an engineer with them. In Maldives, if you are flying Twin Otter, so you have to have 2 crews and a cabin crew and 2 captain and a first officer. So they'll be docking the aircraft to a fixed platform or to a floating jetty. And sometimes if there are 1 or 2 aircraft, they may dock it to a buoy also.
Yeah.
They don't bring an engineer with them. If there is any snag that happens while they are at the resort, they'll call to a maintenance control center and they will relate to the line or duty manager at the time of the snag. The only thing maintenance-wise do is they'll pump the floats.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's lying there for overnight, they'll just pump the floats out to drain the water out.
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking of floats, I guess, what are the floats actually like? Most of them all hold up pretty well. I mean, they're straight float seaplanes, so they're always in the water. I mean, my previous experience with some float plane operators, sometimes the floats leak pretty quickly. So I guess being on the water, though, 24/7, basically, they have to be pretty tight floats, really.
Yeah, it's pretty good floats. There's no leak, then you don't have to pump that much.
Yeah, exactly.
It's pretty straightforward. If you are getting too much, if you have to pump too much water from the compartment, basically it means there's a leak. So most of the time, if there's a leak, the crew will report it to us, and we will pull the aircraft up and have a look whether there is a leak or not. And if there is a leak, we'll fix it up.
I wish wish some of the engineers that I had worked with in the past could do the same thing and respond to a leaking float that quickly. You guys sound like the dream come true.
If there's a leak from the station while they're outside, they'll fly back and it will be fixed at the base.
Yeah, right, okay.
But there are certain situations, like if you have a snag and you are not airworthy to fly, you have to fix it. Then we'll go there. There'll be a maintenance crew arranged, and then we'll go there and fix the aircraft, and then we'll come back.
Yeah, and I guess on that topic I saw on your Instagram page, I think it was a few months back now, just a bit of a shout out again to your Instagram page, at Seaplane Mechanic. You guys are putting up some great stuff. You did an engine change, I think it was, on an island location. How was that?
That was an engine failure. That it's not the first time we did the engine change. Also, there are a couple. I did 3 engine changes outstation.
Oh, wow.
And the engine turbine gave off. One of the blade came off, and it couldn't start. So we went with the engine. We removed all the aircraft seats, load a ferry engine into the aircraft, went to the island, and we did that in that you have seen those pictures, the floating dock.
Yeah.
Engine change on the floating dock. Yeah. So it's a big challenge. It's a lot of work, and it takes roughly 2 days to do that.
Certainly, some of the best office views when changing an engine, though, really, isn't it, out there on 5-star
island? Yeah, there are a lot of people who get excited even to see that.
Yeah, I bet.
Guys on the resort and even sometimes the guests roam around.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll be doing all the work on that platform. We'll remove everything, install the engine back. And, it's a lot of work and a lot of time in that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess, you know, it would be reassuring watching as a guest, you know, seeing how much effort goes into the maintenance, even, you know, on location at an amazing island. So they must be reassured that, you know, they're flying with such a safe airline when they get to see that stuff as well.
Yeah. It's not only engine changes. Sometimes there might be an incident that the aircraft may hit a wingtip, may hit a dock.
Okay.
Or something that a mast and did damage the wingtip. That's a sometimes common thing that happens. So we'll go that, or it may be a hydraulic leak. It may be a fuel leak. It can be anything that have to be rescued. We'll go with the equipments needed and fix the aircraft and bring it back.
Yeah, and I guess while we're talking about kind of off-location maintenance, I mean, I've seen some amazing videos, obviously, on social media of what those Twin Otters kind of have to land in water-wise. How do the Twin Otters take the hard landings in that rough sea as in a maintenance perspective?
In a maintenance perspective, if you think that they take that beating very well.
Yeah.
The only thing that happens is sometimes when the weather is too rough, when you go and land, the float bow tie sometimes do get breaked off.
Which ones are those, sorry?
The drag wires that
go
under. Yeah, the drag wires that hold to the fuselage.
Yep.
Those boats get sheared off.
Okay.
When that happens, we go and put it back together again.
Okay. And then what about struts? Like, has there been times where struts have come off?
No.
Yeah, right.
Only the thing that gives off will be the drag wire bolts, tie bolts. That's why Twin Otter is the best airplane that can handle to this environment.
Yeah, absolutely. I know that, you know, from a flying perspective, the Mallard that I fly, being a hull, and I'm sure other hull boats such as the Albatross or you know, something a bit bigger. I mean, that's a lot bigger size to compare with a twin otter. But the mallard is about the same size as a twin otter, and it can take some really good deep swelly water with that nice big V of the hull. But the issue is that they land at such a high speed and take off at high speed, whereas the twin otters just, they take off and land almost like helicopters in that kind of wind.
Yeah.
Such short takeoff and landing, obviously.
Short landing and short takeoffs.
Yeah, so the stress will be less.
In Maldives, will be, it's not just, we are not land using legs. There are resorts which use even open waters. Some resorts you have to land into the lagoon, or some resorts have to land into the open water. So the swells in the monsoon seasons won't be that forgiving. There will be huge swells. So yeah, it will be tough, and with the wind, that's a challenge there.
And it must be also hard being on those docks trying to do an engine change with big swell as well.
Yeah, we tie everything down, and if the condition is not good, we won't be doing it. We'll be delaying it for until things get calmed down, because it's not going to be safe to walk in. If you drop a propeller into water, it's not going to be nice, right?
No, not really.
Yeah.
So, mate, I want to ask a few other questions. You spoke a little bit about the maintenance control center before. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, the main priority is, like, we have so many aircrafts in the fleet, and if you are trying to contact to a single duty, like an engineer that is working in line, so there'll be too much workload, and even you have to send people to different aircrafts when the aircraft comes. So the maintenance, when the airplane have a defect while they are coming towards base, they will inform the maintenance control center, and they will inform, pilots will inform the dispatch will inform the maintenance control center, they will inform the engineer what to be done. If the pilots want to talk with the engineer directly, they will give the number to the pilot's number to the engineer, and he'll call directly even. So it's a control center between the pilot and the engineering department. So if there's a snag coming up, they will tell after releasing the passengers which dock the aircraft has to go. And before aircraft is coming, you'll know, you have an idea of what kind of snag the aircraft is having also.
Is that the only way that the pilots actually talk to the engineers? Like, do you have a relationship with them directly, or is it mainly through the maintenance control center?
No, you can control. That is just officially how things are done. But if the pilot want to have a check with the engineer, when the aircraft come, they can request for engineer to come over there and have a chat also.
Yeah, right, okay.
The thing is, maintenance control, aircraft will be coming to a different dock. The engineers will be in different areas. So you have to know whether which the aircraft is coming to which dock. So maintenance control is guiding the engineers to the aircraft also. The aerodrome is pretty big, like we have up to 3 jetties full of aircraft. So you have to know which aircraft went to which side, which dock they went to.
Yeah. Have you, this is probably a silly question, but have you ever gone to the wrong aeroplane because there's so many twin otters?
Yeah, of course that can happen. And it's not, you can go to a wrong aircraft, but obviously you'll realize it's a wrong one, right?
Yeah, I imagine you would eventually, but I'm sure it would happen many times where you get to the wrong aeroplane, grab the spanner out, and you know, realize that you're at the wrong one. But
yes, the way it will be, as soon as you know it, you'll go to the correct one. That mostly happens. Decision changing, like you call one time to do an aircraft on a particular to do a compost on a particular aircraft, sometimes the decision may change not to do it. So stuff like that may happen.
Yeah, right. Mate, with some engine stuff, we'll talk about engines for a moment. with the Mallard here, we do every now and again when we put the aeroplane through some pretty rough water and we suck in a bit of salt water into the intake there, and we then lose a bit of power. You know, we end up being ITT limited rather than torque limited for takeoff. We come back and do a power recovery wash.
Yeah.
Is that happening over there? And how often would that happen on a daily or weekly, you know, schedule?
Mostly power recovery wash, which includes soap. We'll be doing it in Emma while we are doing it.
Okay. What about if the pilots request it because of engine performance?
Pilot won't be requesting that. Lot of the snacks will be the same that low-torque and high T5. That is a very, very common snack, or slow to spool.
Yep.
So when that happens, if like we are washing the compressor wash done every night, so when that much compressor wash is done, you don't have to do a recovery wash that much enough. So we'll be looking at engine rigging. If the FCU is not giving enough, we'll do a engine run and then check if the aircraft is not producing enough power. If it is not producing enough power, we'll do the required adjustment to get enough fuel flow to get the torque out to the required limit.
Yep.
So if it is something that is involved in ITT and you are, if you have to give fuel and you are limited by ITT, then you'll be considering to do a power recovery wash.
Yeah, right.
Of course, everything will be done under maintenance task card. This is one of the responsibility of the control MCC also to do the task card issuing. If any work is done there, it will be done under work task card. So you will have a record of everything done. So if there is a troubling aircraft, you'll know that you'll look at the history of the aircraft and we'll come up with the snag rectification.
Okay.
If the same engine is producing too much trouble, we might, and if after adjustment also it's not getting fixed, we might change the fuel control unit something that is reliant.
And you talked about engine run-ups there and doing power checks. Obviously, a straight float seaplane has no brakes. So how does it go on the dock there, being tied up, doing engine runs?
It is fully tied up. To the bollard is tied up to the dock from forward until to the back on both sides. So it is properly tied up and with a huge rope, so it's not going anywhere. You can go for full max power even on both engines.
Wow.
But we do... If you are going max power on one, we do max power each engine at a time, but you can go for max power on both engines. They will hold it.
Wow, that's incredible. Now, also just on engines there, I believe that Australia has a little connection with the Maldives and its engine maintenance. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Australia has a big connection with maintenance. All the engines that are in TMA aircraft, TMA has a contract with Pacific Turbine Brisbane. So they will do all our engine overhauls and they'll provide us with the spare required to replace the components if required to do so. And they'll be looking after the engines, like engine condition monitoring and how they are performing. And the best part of the PT6 is engine is that you can walk easily on the field also. Like you can split the engine, do the hot section inspection, or even remove the accessory gearbox side and replace any, if starter generator shaft is worn, you can replace the starter generator shaft also. And yeah, the only thing you can touch of the PT6 is the power section side due to the power turbine and the propeller shaft balancing that. Other than that, everything can be done. PTB will provide the required hot section kit also.
And what about the prop overhauls? Where would they all be done?
Prop overhauls are done in US. There is a couple of 2-3 companies that are doing proper overhauls. We'll be sending those to US. And like we are now in a phase of putting 4-bladed propellers on Twin Otter, which is a natural composite blade propeller.
Okay. I do recall seeing a couple of photos of a few 4-bladed props. So is the plan to eventually get all of those Twin Otters transferred over to 4 blades?
Yeah. The current plan is to change everything to 4-bladed propellers, but it may be delayed due to the COVID situation. But yeah, it was the plan before COVID to convert everything into 4-bladed propellers.
And what other advantages do the 4-blade prop have on the 3-blade?
The main advantage will be the cost on overhaul.
Is that because of the composite structure?
Yeah. And the 3-bladed propeller, it's good, it's rugged, but the aluminium blades do get corroded. They do get corrosion, and you have to file it up. And when it goes for heavy, there is possibility for rejection of their blades. So 4-bladed propellers are much better. You can use it for a long, long time.
Oh, that makes sense then. So,
and there's the advantage of less noise, reduction in weight and price also.
Yeah, noise is definitely a great one, obviously, for passengers and passenger comfort. Mate, speaking of COVID, TMA just recently had to, you know, protect, obviously, tourism is a huge market in the Maldives, and that's why TMA and the other two float plan operators exist, taking all the passengers out to those beautiful islands. But when there's no tourists, there's no flights, so that means the aircraft are sitting around doing nothing, and it's better to keep them on land rather than in the water. And so can you tell us a little about what you've been doing to help, you know, keep these aeroplane in top shape during the COVID crisis?
Yeah, we did pull some of the about 20 aircraft from water and kept it on the apron. And after that, it was mostly about the prevention, lubrication of the controls, moving areas, door hinges, flight controls, and even compressor washes were done. So just daily inspections and lubrications of the control surfaces.
And what was the process to get those aircraft out of the water and onto the ramp there?
Oh, we used a crane to lift the aircraft from the water and put it on the cart, and then towed it to the apron site, and again used the crane to put that back into the back on the flyer knee on the apron.
Yeah, right.
So a crane was used.
And I guess, you know, with the aircraft sitting in water for so long, is there any issues with any growth, any sea marine growth on the bottom of the floats?
Yeah, barnacles is a concern. There are sometimes that if it is sitting for a long time, a huge amount of barnacles will grow on the float. So there is a schedule to put every, when it's pulled up for MR inspection also, you'll clean the whole floats from barnacles. And like during this COVID, these aircrafts are not flying. So you'll be pulling on a schedule aircraft up, clean it, and put the aircraft back into water.
And that's just with use of the crane as well?
No, that is, the aircraft will be on a trolley.
Oh, okay, that's in the maintenance hangar there, is it?
Yeah. The trolley will go into the water, and we'll drag the aircraft on top of the trolley, and we'll secure it with two ropes to the back of the aircraft. And a tractor will be connected to the trolley, and the tractor will slowly pull it, and the aircraft will come and sit on the trolley. So it's a pretty easy process to take the aircraft up.
Yeah, okay. That sounds pretty cool. And all those aircraft back in the water now, ready for the influx of tourists again once COVID all finishes up, or is there still a few left on the land?
There are a couple still left on the land. They are bringing as the maintenance requirement, and doing the maintenance and putting them back into the water. Like, as I mentioned previously about the MR, either MR will be due in aviation, most of the stuff will come due in hours or in calendar hours. So if you are flying, it will be hours will be due sooner than calendar hours. So if you are not flying, calendar hours will due. So every month, when the calendar hour is due, you have to do the maintenance. So depending on that, aircraft is pulled back.
Yeah, right. Now, mate, I want to talk a little bit about the lifestyle aspect of being an engineer at Trans Maldivian. So what's the shift like? Is it? I'm imagining it's got to be a lot of night shifts because of that's when a lot of the aircraft aren't flying. Does that happen or is it just day stuff?
In Maldives, we avoid to do the night. We avoid night shifts. The only especially late night, we used to do MR shift from 6 p.m. to morning 6 p.m. So most of the guys thought it's not productive and they wanted to do it in the morning. So MR will be done in morning time. It can extend up to 8 or 9 p.m. at night. There'll be line in two shifts, which will be divided morning 5 o'clock. One shift will come and they'll end at 2 p.m. And there'll be a shift coming at 1:30 p.m. and they'll end around 10 p.m. in the night. They'll finish all the de-ice and compression. They'll go home. Lifestyle is busy compared to the other companies. TMA has a huge, you'll be spending a lot of hours in work.
What about a roster? Like, what's your weekly roster?
But of course, you won't be exceeding your hours. There'll be a set amount of hours for you to work each day.
And then what about a roster? So, like, would you work Monday to Friday or is it random days? Or
It's not rostered like that. For example, if you are working in a MR shift, you'll be working 4 on and 3 off. So it's not only one shift, there is 3 shift MRs. So every day, maintenance will be running. If you are in line, you'll be working 4 on, 2 off. If you are in heavy maintenance also, you'll be working 4 on, 2 off. So in MR, you'll be doing 12-hour shift. In line, you'll be doing 8-hour shift. So basically, maintenance will be running. You are rostered on you have to come as per your roster. So there, you might have to come on weekends also.
Yeah, I guess it depends on whether it falls on the 4 and 2 or the 4 and 3.
Yeah, and even public holidays, you might have to come to work and there'll be a compensation day given for that. Later, you can include it into your annual.
Okay. Also, just with engineering staffing, it's quite famous, I guess, the number of expat pilots that the Maldives, employs. What's it like for engineering? Is it mostly Maldivians or is there expat engineers as well?
Right now, at this moment, it's like locals are more than foreigners. Even when you consider pilots also locals, the amount of locals are higher than the foreigners. At the start, there is a lot of guys from Sri Lanka who are worked in ex-army and some Indians. Still, there are a lot of Sri Lankans, some Indians, Filipinos. It's multicultural. Yeah, there are a lot of expats work there, but the amount of locals now working in TMA is higher than expats. Yeah, especially in engineering and flight ops.
Yeah, right.
Because what's happened is now there is opportunity to go out and study engineering and pilot. So young guys are getting involved in it. You can go to Sri Lanka and get a ESI approved 147 course on aircraft maintenance engineering or even Australia. So it's easy to go and get a degree in aircraft maintenance engineering.
Yeah, exactly. I imagine that TMA and some of the other seaplane operators there are some of the higher up jobs in the Maldives. So it's a targeted company to work for, is it?
Yeah, it's especially seaplane pilots, good pay compared to the other airlines. So yeah, it's a good career opportunity.
Is the maintenance side of thing, is that kind of like the top rank, or is there room to maybe go down and start working on airline type aircraft like ATRs or even jets?
It depends on your choice. If you want to work on in TMA, then you'll be working in seaplane. But if you want to go to jets, you have to go to Maldivian or some other combi airline from outside. The thing will be TMA is right now focused on twin otters, and if you want to work on both land-based and ATRs, you might consider like Maldivian, but they do also have the seaplane side is divided and the land-based side is divided. You can transfer between them, and even Manta is operating ATR and twin otters.
Yeah, right.
If in engineering, yeah, if in you, it doesn't matter whether you are working on a seaplane or a land aircraft. If you are shifting, if you are an engineer on a twin otter, if you want to go to a jet aircraft, you have to go and do a work on it and get a type rating on that aircraft, and then only you can start signing the aircraft. So yeah, engineer is the top rank there.
Oh, it's very interesting, mate. I really appreciate you kind of sharing a bit of insight. Is there anything, do you think, that I've missed question-wise that people might find interesting about being an engineer in the Maldives? Is there anything that kind of you should kind of share that maybe myself or other people haven't thought about engineering-wise?
If we are considering a seaplane, then it's a challenging environment compared to the other land-based aircraft you're working in. You have to think on the preventative maintenance part more than the what you are just laid on the book, how maintenance should be done.
Oh, very cool. Mate, I normally end the chat with a bit of a splash and dash questionnaire, just like the land plane touch and go, the seaplane splash and dash. We'll just touch on a few questions. Now, you're the first person I've spoke to maintenance related, so this questionnaire might have to be a little bit adjusted. Mate, why don't we start off with what's probably the hardest thing about working on the twin otter? Is there some sort of part of the twin otter that's really not that easy to work on, or, you know, can you give us a bit of an insight onto what's the least fun or the hardest part to work on?
Well, twin otter is a small aircraft, and when you walk in, like if you are going into the tail boom, it's a tiny space to go inside or into the fuel tank also. So you will have to be, if you are claustrophobic, you'll have a little bit challenging to walk, fear of small areas. And the main part will be you are walking on sea. You'll be walking on docks that is not going to be steady. Put a ladder on the dock and then start walking. You'll be moving around. It's a challenge not to drop a tool into the water and to keep steady. That's the main challenge that if you're working on seaplanes, especially twin otter seaplanes generally, yeah.
Yeah, right. What about, what's your favorite part about working on the twin otters there at TMA?
I just love the everyday challenges that comes in. I mean, it's a small aircraft, but I would be thinking even the guys who have worked there for 20 plus years, still they get excited about the defects or snags that come and the challenges they face. So every day is not the same day. You get new ways of thinking about the aircraft.
Yeah, that must be pretty cool just to have, you know, you never know what's going to happen at work, do you? I mean, yes, you've got the scheduled maintenance and whatnot, but, you know, there could be an aircraft out at Island A that needs something fixed, or, you know, the next day could be Island B needs something fixed as well. So, yeah, it must be such variety.
Yeah, it's a lot of variety, and you get to enjoy the walking in sea area also. It's a different environment. You go outside, you can do fishing, just enjoy the surrounding, have fun, drop some couple of guys into water. You have a fun environment there.
Yeah, exactly. I've seen it myself. I spent a couple of days over there on a holiday once. It's a beautiful location, beautiful office, but it's pretty hard to avoid the water in the Maldives. There's water everywhere.
So, you know.
if you were the guy living or working in the middle of the city in Mali on the bottom story who didn't have a water view, you'd be pretty disappointed, I reckon, because everyone has a water view in the Maldives.
If you want a water view, you can walk a couple of minutes and you can have a water view.
Exactly. Is TMA, you know, where it is? Is that the end goal for you, or you know, would you like to work on other aircraft in the future, or are you happy doing what you're doing?
When I joined TMA, my plan was to work there for a couple of years and go to a big airline, but I love where I am now. And I think a few more years I'll be still there.
Oh, that's good to hear.
It's enjoying. It's still amazing to work there.
Perfect, mate. That's great to hear. And probably the last question I've got is, I normally save the last question for some advice for aspiring seaplane pilots to try and get into the industry. But what about if there's any, you know, young Maldivian people out there who want to get into aircraft maintenance? What advice would you give them?
Just join and see the experience. Come as an intern, see how things go, and decide whether you want to work as a maintenance guy in the industry or you want to do something else. Because everywhere is opening for opportunities. You can have an intern program and see how it goes before committing into your career. And if you want to go to study abroad, go to a ESI Pro 147 college. That will make your life hell easy.
Great advice. And it's been awesome having you on the show to talk all about Twin Otter and Maldivian maintenance, mate. Another little shameless plug for your Instagram account, because you guys put, it's you and a friend, you guys are putting out some really cool content.
Our aim of the page was like, we see these social media pages that put aviation related big planes and stuff, and there are nothing like, no pages that feature small or the challenges that we face every day. We just want to share how it's done and how things are like in Maldives and what are the challenges we faced, and especially Twin Otters, we love them. So yeah, it's a nice and beautiful aircraft.
Yeah, absolutely. There's some really cool videos of you guys doing some behind the scenes work. I mean, everyone has seen on Instagram and other social media platforms the beautiful Twin Otter in the, you know, Maldivian waters there, the turquoise waters, doing its thing. But you guys put up some great content there of what it's like to maintain these beautiful aircraft in such a cool location. So make sure, if you haven't followed Nisham and his partner yet on Instagram, go check them out at Seaplane Mechanic. Some amazing content, fellas. But Nisham, unless there's anything else you want to add, mate, it's been an absolute pleasure to talk all about Maldivian Twin Otter seaplane maintenance.
No, thank you for having me.
It's
a pleasure. I have listened to your podcast. Those great contents.
Thanks very much, mate. And I really can't wait to get this episode out to everyone and share your story about seaplane maintenance, mate. I'd like to thank you very much for coming on The Step.
Yeah, thank you.
And that's the show for today, folks. What an incredible insight to maintenance in the Maldives. Once again, thanks to Nisham for the incredible insight. Now is the time to leave me a review if you like the podcast and to get in touch to say hi. Don't forget, there are so many other seaplane stories waiting for you to listen. So if you haven't yet, jump back and have a listen to an older episode. So much seaplane content ready for you at any time. Before we go, episode number 20 is next. That's right, I'm out of the teens and into the 20s. It features Mark Downham, who is the chief engineer for the Mallards iFly. So we will talk all about what it's like to maintain a 70-year-old aircraft. Until next time, everyone, thanks for coming on The Step.